The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. It is so exciting for me to present someone that's on my program for the very first time. Although he's been on The Shepherd before and is currently on the Shepherd radio stations across the network on the weekends with a program called In Grace. It's my privilege to present Pastor Jim Scudder. Welcome to my program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. It's great to be on. And I love Florida. You might not know this, but I was born in Miami.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, Mom and Dad met in Bible College, Florida Bible College, and they were in Miami and then Hollywood. And I was born at the, I think it was called Cedars of Lebanon Hospital. And then they pretty quickly graduated and moved up to Chicago and started our church. So I'm pretty much Chicago raised, but I always have liked the Dolphins.
Well, that's a lot of people in Central Florida are big Dolphins fans. But I tell you what, a lot of people in Florida would be wondering, man, this must have been the call of God to move from Miami to Chicago. That had to be the call.
It's such an interesting story. And my dad passed away about a year and a half ago. He really is an amazing man. He started a great work and a great church in Chicago, and now we're in the suburbs. But yeah, to go from Florida to Chicago is unusual. And even more unusual is he was born and raised in Kentucky. And he loved just kind of the relaxed lifestyle of rural living. So to end up in Chicago after all that is a huge step, because he just felt God was calling him to Chicago.
Yeah. Each of those three places that you've mentioned are like diametrically different from each other.
Right.
I mean, it is beautiful. Yeah. My wife grew up in Kentucky and in Henderson, Kentucky. And I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, which is just across the Ohio River from Henderson.
Right.
So,
right.
So we moved to Florida in 85, and Indiana people love Florida. So I'm grateful I'm here.
Well, you know, Illinoisans do too. Especially in January, February.
Yeah. Now, you more so than me. I mean, the weather in Chicago, they don't call it the Windy City for nothing.
Yeah. And my dad retired to Florida and passed away in the Villages. He was there in the hospital in the Villages. I was there at his bedside. It was a precious moment. It was hard to lose him, but he was healthy. And then just one day he had kidney failure. We don't even know exactly what all happened, but within a few days he had passed away with the Lord and healed. He lived in the Villages for a little bit. He loved it. And
how long did he stay there?
He was in the Villages for a couple years. He really loved the ocean. So when he first retired, he did a semi-retirement for a while in Cape Coral, Punta Gorda. He lived in several different places, but he always loved a boat. You know, and we always loved to fish on the saltwater. And then he moved to Key Largo, which I love that because I'm an adventurer and a diver and a fisherman. So that was great. And then he ended up moving to where there's no ocean, the Villages, but there's that's where we discovered all of your great bass fishing. My goodness, you guys, that's if you fish, that's the place.
Yeah, it's true. Between lakes and bass and golf carts, what we lack, what the Villages lack in ocean, they make up in golf carts.
Yeah, let me tell you this real quick, Mike, because my dad would always make fun of golfers. Okay. So he, being a fisherman, he always loved to fish. He says you cannot do both. You're going to either be carnal and like golf or be spiritual and like fishing. he would say there's no golfers in the Bible, but there were fishermen. But then he ends up moving to the Villages, which he buys a house and it comes with a golf cart garage.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the Villages do you have a golf cart garage.
That
and then
is
he buys
true.
A golf cart, and then he buys golf clubs, and he's right next to their, they have a putting play, it's called. He lived on a golf course. So he never played golf, but he was getting closer and closer every day.
Isn't that something? Well, it is a beautiful area, truly a unique area, and we are honored to have 103.5 FM right in Oxford, which is right there in the Villages, and it booms the Shepherd.
And that's how we first heard you, because I was visiting my dad, and we were expanding our radio ministry, and I said, we've got to be on where my dad is. And so I just tuned the radio till I found a Christian station, and that was you guys. That was when you had first come on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad to be on. And now Orlando, I think we're on there on Saturdays and Sundays, both in Gainesville and
Gainesville, Ocala, and Orlando.
Ocala.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, and when I have some good friends in Orlando too, so, you know, it's another great place. And, you know, how many places are there in the world that need the gospel and need the word of God? It's a need everywhere. So we're just thankful to be on down there with you guys.
Well, it's really our honor. You've been on about a month or so now on these stations again, and it's really great. And I wasn't aware of the fact that your dad, who was the founding pastor, was he the founding pastor of Quinton Road?
Yes. Him and mom just, they did not want to go to a place like Chicago, but they both felt at the same time, but from different ways, they both came to the conclusion that God wants them in Chicago, the last place they want to go. And so they moved there with my sister. She was one and a half, and I was zero. I was just an infant. Mm-hmm. And without any support, without knowing anybody, and he just planted the church, and it's grown into a beautiful, unified body of believers, and we're trying to reach the world.
Well, that's wonderful, and you're doing it not only in the church, but taking it beyond those four walls and putting it on the radio, where I just know from your ministry on radio that it's reaching people, Jim, and that's really what it's all about. Now, speaking of reaching, how did you come? I know it's one thing to be a PK. My wife was a PK and grew up with her dad in ministry. You know the stories of being PKs. I'm sure you do. And not every preacher's kid is one that follows the dad's footsteps the way you've done. Tell us a story about how you came to have a personal relationship with Jesus more than just attending with your parents.
Right. So, you know, I went to church every Sunday because I had to. And, you know, right. When you're a baby, you're going to go wherever mom and dad go. But it's not enough to have Christian parents. It's not enough to be in a Christian nation. Every individual needs to come to a place where they realize their need, and hopefully they accept Jesus, the Son of God, as their personal Savior. So I knew I was a sinner. Mom and Dad were very good at making sure I understood that. And one day I just said, you know, Mom and Dad, I was five, and I said, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to put my trust in him. And so some people say, how can a child really understand that? Well, Jesus said, come as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's that, you know, children, we love children because they're innocent, and they just trust, right? They just have faith. And I think that's the essence of salvation, is to come as a child, to put aside all of your pride and receive the gift of eternal life by just simply trusting in Jesus, not yourself, not your religion, not your works. I always say this in church. It's not trusting your pastor, your priest, your prayer, your penance. It's trusting in the person and work of Jesus. And I did that. And I was saved.
Mm. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. when you look at your life, and I think of my own son who gave his heart when he was 5 years old, and my daughters were not far from the same age when they all confessed faith in Jesus, and they wanted, I mean, it was very clear that conviction was there, and even though their little hearts had not experienced what a lot of people, when they come to the Lord as an adult, it's not like that, but it was real, and it stuck. And they've lived their lives, their entire lives, for the Lord. And so that's the pudding, if you will, that we see that that really did happen in your life.
Yeah, so faith is something that people can't see. And I know there's some Christians, like, you know, if you look in the Bible, there was Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and they believed, but they were afraid of that they would be, you know, that their lives, they'd be kicked out of the synagogue or lose their, you know, their jobs or whatever. And so I believe that there are some Christians that you might not even realize it, but they do believe. But we're supposed to show our faith. How can the world, and that's what James is all about. James is saying, how will the world know that you're a believer? Well, it's by our works. It's by our what we do that the world will know that we belong to Jesus. So I never went in rebellion against God. And some believers, some Christians do. They'll backslide and walk away from the Lord. But the Bible says we have the Spirit of God in us. So I think there's no born-again believer that can just live a wicked life and get away with it. God is God's going to say, no, you're my child, you know, whom I love, who I know I'm going to discipline. And so he lovingly disciplines us back, hopefully, to service. So when I was, you know, a lot of people said, are you going to be a pastor like your dad? And maybe your wife experienced questions like that, you know, because of her parents being, or her dad being a pastor. And I would tell people, this is kind of funny. I don't even know why I did this, but I said, to shock them, I said, no, I want to be a garbage man.
Now, what was the reason for that?
Well, dad has his explanation, but I just wanted to see the shock value.
Okay.
The little old sweet lady that was asking me this question, just they couldn't believe my answer. My dad said it was because I thought the garbage men only worked once a week. That's all I ever saw them once a week. So,
which is the same accusation.
I don't know why I said that, yeah. But it's funny, right?
That's the same accusation that they make against all pastors. You only work on Sundays.
Yeah, I have a relative that's a farmer. So I tease him only having to work in the summer, and he teases me only working on Sundays.
Hmm. Wow. So how was the call to ministry when that became really a very clear call in your life? How did that happen?
So I never really wanted to be a garbage man. I always wanted to be a pilot. I love airplanes. I always have, you know, when I was little, I just watch airplanes and read. People would give me airplane books. So that was just my love. So I always thought, you know, I'll be a commercial pilot and make good money and whatever. And then I started to feel Lord wanted me to be in ministry. My dad never, I knew he would love for me to be in ministry, love for me to be a pastor, but all he cared about was that I serve the Lord, which doesn't necessarily mean vocational work. It just means you are dedicated to Christ, and there's plenty of people with secular jobs that are serving the Lord with everything they have, and it's pleasing to God. So I thought, maybe I could be a pilot in missions, right? So you read the books of the great missionary pilots. I read about Nate Saint, and I just thought, well, okay, that's what God wants me to do. So tying my love for God, love for airplanes. And then at a camp one summer, I was 16, and I was hearing some great preaching, and I just felt convicted that God wanted me to be a pastor. I can't explain it. I really don't know more than what I just said to you. I just felt like God suddenly changed my heart. And I said, Lord, obviously that's putting away, pastors aren't pilots. So I'm putting that's not ever going to happen. And I'm fine with that. I just want to serve you, and I'll study to be a pastor. So I announced it at camp that God had called me to be a pastor. My dad about fell over. He was so happy. And so that was it. I went into Bible college, got trained, and became a pastor under my dad first. And then I pastored my own church for 5 years. And then he asked me to come back and co-pastor with him until he retired.
Mm. That had to be a great privilege and a great thrill for you and your dad to have him work with you, that had to be just a wonderful experience.
It was, and we just worked really well together. We're very like-minded. Not to say every moment of it was perfect, but it was a great experience, and we had a great transition. Our church, it literally just continued on like he had never left. But and it was hard when he fully retired. It was about 5 years ago. But God has been good. God is expanding and blessing things with us. And let me also tell you this, Mike. This is really interesting, because I said, God, I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm going to serve you as a pastor, and I'm going to give up flying. And I really never even thought about it again until one day my dad says, hey, Jim, you know, with our college and we're growing and our seminary and our broadcast, I think we need to get a small airplane and use it to start getting around to these speaking engagements and stuff. He said, would you want to get your pilot's license?
Are you kidding?
I fell over. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I never asked him. I never talked to him about it. And I have my pilot's license now. When we use aviation for getting around and speaking and recruiting students.
Now I am jealous, because the story here is when I was a young man, before I met my wife, I was saving money to get my pilot's license as well. I'd gone on a couple of Discovery flights like you, just loved it, thought it was wonderful. And then I met my future wife, and I decided I wanted to be married more than I was wanting to fly. But so I used the money to buy a ring. That's what I did.
Oh, smart man.
Yeah,
smart man.
It was not a bad move. And but I have always loved flying. And it is so much fun to be up there. So what kind of a plane do you get to fly around in?
Well, we've been for about 12 or 13 years flying a Cirrus. It's a very modern four-seat airplane. Most people would never get in such a small airplane, but this is a very high-tech, very fast, modern. It has the only airplane they make. Every airplane has a onboard parachute system, that if you get into trouble, your engine quits or whatever, you can pull a handle and a parachute comes out of the top of the plane and the whole airplane floats down.
I never heard of such a thing. Oh my God.
It is fantastic. Now, we all pray we'll never have to pull that handle.
Oh man.
We make sure our passengers never touch that handle.
Okay. I'm going to have to go on the internet and find some pictures of that. That's just got to be something great. But that is exciting. My guest today is Jim Scudder with In Grace Ministries, pastor, the senior pastor of Quinton Road Baptist Church, or up in the Chicago area. And we'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. On the line today with Jim Scudder, Pastor Jim Scudder from In Grace Ministries. He's on the Shepherd Radio Network each weekend at 1 o'clock on Saturdays on both of our stations, the simulcast between Gainesville and Orlando, as well as the Sunday afternoon block on Orlando station WIWA at 4:32 and at 5:35 in both Gainesville and Ocala on Sundays. And we're going to be talking more about the program that's even coming up this weekend, because this coming weekend is the anniversary of September 11th, 20 years. And of course, 9/11 has been in the news for all of the painful, sad reasons that it always is, but especially with this year being an anniversary. It is a big year for America to observe and remember. May we never forget. And you've got a special program that we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Before we do, though, Jim, tell us a little bit more about the ministry that you have there in Chicago.
Well, Mike, it's a really neat, first of all, local church, because we believe that in this age that we live in, the God is working through the local church. We're not Jew or Gentile. We're not male or female. We're not bond or free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And the local church is the main, you know, outlet for ministry and encouragement and edification. So that's the big thing. I'm a pastor first and foremost. And I love being a pastor, Quinton Road Baptist Church. And we have about 2,500 seats in our auditorium. And we have massive schools. We have probably the largest preschool in the country. It's just hundreds and hundreds of little preschool kids. It's just, I mean, if you ever were around our ministry, it's almost chaotic. It's so much fun. There's always something going on. And all these kids are learning about the Lord and are being ministered to. So we have schools all the way from pre-K all the way through high school. And we have, you know, athletic teams and all of the stuff that Christian schools have. And then we have a Bible college and seminary called Dayspring Bible College. And that is it's a separate ministry, but we're very much one unified ministry. And that website, if anyone's looking for a Bible college, we do online classes. We have a beautiful campus that's about 5 miles from the church. And that's dbc.edu. So Dayspring Bible College, dbc.edu.
Love the name.
And it's a four-year school. Yeah, Dayspring. So that's from Luke 178. You know, the Dayspring from on high hath visited us. Of course, Jesus is our sunrise, S-O-N.
Yes. But that is a beautiful name. And to realize that a dream that came to your dad and wasn't even an area that he would have longed to live in, it really is wonderful to look back and to see the sovereignty of God moving us just as he has done in your life. He's moved you in directions from that very first night that you gave your life to the Lord. And even this thing that we were talking about in the first segment about your desire to be a pilot, God so often just, he delights in giving us the desires of our heart, doesn't he?
You know, Mike, that's exactly the verse that came to mind when my dad said, "Jim, I think we need to get a small airplane and I think you need to get your pilot's license." Like, Lord, you know, you knew that would be something that I would just love. But I, you know, I don't deserve that. And he blesses when we're obedient. And, you know, when Dad started the church, it was hard. I mean, you know, we look back, he thought he could just go the first year and have a couple hundred people. I think we had maybe one member in a year. It was really hard, but just over time, God kept blessing. Dad didn't quit. Mom didn't quit. And through a lot of, you know, sacrifice, serving, God just, it's like an oak tree, you know, slowly grew into this beautiful, strong ministry. And really my job is to not break anything that Dad started.
That's a great way to say it. Dad set this thing up right, and I don't want to goof it up in any way. That's really,
he did a great job. He created a bunch of staff that they're all just, we're all unified. They're amazing people. I can do all this other stuff. So I can, we just filmed in Israel a couple of weeks ago, and I'm always going somewhere to go bring a story to America on TV and radio. And what pastor can do that and come back to a church that's still running smoothly? So I'm almost always preaching every Sunday, and I do administrative stuff, but my staff is just a dream staff. We have about 150 people that work for us, and it's just a blessing. Dad really created something amazing, and I just pray that, you know, God will continue to bless it.
Well, it sounds like he is blessing it, and it sounds like you're doing a great job of keeping and growing that thing that your dad did, and that is a wonderful legacy. It's going to be something that you'll pass down, and perhaps if your children decide to follow after their own dad, they've got quite a legacy now to look back on and to trust the Lord with. And, you know, that is something that I believe that we all can give to our kids, is a legacy, is a faith-filled kind of a way that they can look back. And I think of the Old Testament, and Jim, I know I can tell you're a guy that loves the stories of the Old Testament. I love the fact that they had memorials that they would build to remember. And that's really what our legacy can be. It's a point for our kids to look back and to say, you know, God is faithful because I experienced this when I was a child watching my mom and dad move through faith. And that's exactly what I'm hearing you talk about when you speak about your dad.
You know, Mike, I'm so curious when I read through the story of the Exodus and how this people had seen so many miracles. You know, God giving the plagues and not affecting them. And then releasing them from the mighty, you know, Pharaoh, and then being pursued and then saved as they cross the Red Sea. But to still forget so quickly what God has done and complain so quickly, we need those memorials. We need to look back and remember what God has done. And then when it gets hard, we say, look, my God has done great things. He's going to continue to great things. I'm going to serve him. And I'm not going to complain about whatever just happened. I know God loves me and he's caring about me and he's giving me this trial for a purpose and a reason. And I'm going to just stay faithful to him.
Mm-hmm. Somebody recently said in one of my interviews, you can't have a testimony without having a test. And, you know, those tests that come, they're more than just building momentary character in our lives. They're actually building something that is going to hold for the rest of our lives. It's part of us. It's part of who we are.
Yeah. I do want to talk about this 9/11 show because it's so timely. But listen, we have what you just mentioned, having these trials and these tests. We have another series coming up soon. It's called Overcoming Your Olympus. And my wife and I, this year, within a year, both lost our dads. We also had a huge family burden and a trial that's happened in our family's life. And so my wife and I went out to Washington State, to the Olympic National Forest, and we recorded and filmed some of the beauty out there, but we also just shared our hearts about the trials that we've been through. And we used the Mount Olympus, the tallest mountain in that mountain range there in Washington State, as a metaphor for that mountain that sometimes God puts in front of you for a reason. And so, listen, really, really hard things come into life. And I don't know anyone that's exempt from that. But I know this one thing. God loves you deeply. And I don't know everyone I'm talking to right now, but I know one thing. God loves you. And I know that because he sent his own son for you.
Yes.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So once you've received that love, that gift by faith in Jesus, now it's just a life of trust to say, he's only going to allow something that it seems bad, it seems awful in my life for his glory and for our good. And I'm just going to trust him in that, overcoming our Olympus.
Well, speaking of a mountain of terror fell upon America in 2001 on September 11th. And I remember, I think every American that was old enough to remember anything will remember where they were when they first heard about this, when they first saw those images of big airplanes flying into the trade centers. And it's just a day that is so horrible. And again, we're celebrating now. It's hard to use the word celebrating. We're observing maybe the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and on your program, In Grace, you've got something very special. Part one played this past weekend, and part two is coming up. Tell us a little bit about this special that you've put together.
Okay, so I love America, and I'm a big believer in making sure our kids and grandkids know the true history of this country. And so I have children that were little, but they were old enough to remember 9/11. But I have grandchildren now, little 5-year-old, 3-year-old, that they, of course, weren't even born yet. So I want to keep the memory alive of what happened in our country, what evil looks like. And so I begin to pray, and we've done previous 9/11 specials. I interviewed a general that was in the Pentagon when the plane hit, and we actually filmed it in the Pentagon at the spot where the plane hit. We did that a couple of years ago. They can find that on our website. But on the 20th anniversary, I said, Lord, I'd love to tell another story. Give us a story. And then an evangelist friend of mine, his name is Chris Miller. He lives in Tennessee, but he's all over the United States. He had been doing a lot of evangelism in the subways of New York during just after 9/11, because so many people, you remember how open people were and how the churches were full 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that didn't last too long, Mike. But at the time, you know, so he was using the opportunity, and then every 9/11 he'd go back to New York. He's actually going back this week to do more evangelism. So he said, I've met this guy that was part of a church in the New York area, and he was one of the 9/11 volunteer rescuers. His name was Dave Carnes. I am careful when I say this. He's a former Marine. So all of you Marines, I know there's no such thing as a former Marine, but he wasn't active. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. He wasn't an active Marine on 9/11, but he had kept a pressed Marine work uniform. So it's the camouflage. He called it the utilities. He kept one in his closet in case an emergency ever came in America, because he foresaw this day where terrorists would attack us.
Hmm.
And he was working as an accountant in Connecticut, and it was about an hour and a half away from the World Trade Center. And immediately he heads down, he stops at his church to pray with his pastor, and then he gets down, and he found very few people were rescued from the epicenter of the World Trade Center. The South Tower collapsed. There were a couple Port Authority police officers trapped, and Dave Carnes found them. And it is an amazing story of how all of his life experiences came together, how God had really shaped him for this 4 or 5 hour rescue. And now he wants to use his story for the glory of God.
Mm. What an incredible story. And thinking about it's really hard. I look at the images, but I can't even begin to get my brain around what it would have been like for him and all of the other people who, when that first building came down, I mean, it's unthinkable, and the images are just unbearable. Some people literally, when the rush of dust and the wind from that devastation just kind of blew through those streets, those that were there were just covered with a very toxic chemical. I mean, it's gross when you think about the components of that dust. It's just horrible. It's heartbreaking. But that's what they were fighting through.
Yeah. And so Dave rushes in when everyone else was rushing out. So he arrived just about sunset. So this was after both towers had collapsed. They were really worried about all these other buildings falling, because I think the Marriott Hotel collapsed. So mm-hmm. other buildings were about to fall. So, and the firefighters and police officers had lost so many already, they pulled out. And in the morning, when the first plane hit and he was in his office in Connecticut, he went and prayed and said, Lord, use me today. Please, even if it takes my life, please help me to find and rescue someone. And he said God gave him this image in his mind of utter devastation and no one there. So he arrives at the World Trade Center, and it's a miracle they even let him in, but he's in his Marine uniform and he's got rappelling gear. So he goes in, and he said when he arrived, everybody had pulled out. So it was him and another former Marine. They both went in together.
Oh my goodness.
The only ones on the pile, and they're calling out. Finally, they hear this muffled cry. And these Port Authority police officers were about 20 feet down in the, twisted steel, smoke, fire, dust. And they went down into that inferno, and they did not leave those cops until they had been extricated. And they were trapped. There were beams crushing one. Will Jimenez is his name. And I just watched actually the history or the National Geographic did a big thing on this yesterday, the day before I watched it. And they hardly mentioned Dave Carnes because the other Marine basically took a lot of the credit for this. But either way, the story is amazing. And there was another Port Authority police officer that was trapped below Will Jimenez. So after Dave and the rescuers got him out, they had to get John McLaughlin out as well. And that took another number of hours. So when you hear the story from Dave, and we actually went to New York, we went to Connecticut, we've retraced his whole steps that day. We went to his church. But this weekend, you're going to hear on The Shepherd, both Saturday or Sunday, you're going to hear part two, which is the actual rescue,
mm-hmm.
where he's on scene. We filmed that one at the World Trade Center. I don't know if you've been there, Mike, but it's a beautiful memorial today with The footprints of the buildings are now a waterfall.
Mm.
And so the 9/11 Memorial and Museum allowed us to film with Dave because, you know, they look at Dave as the hero. Mm-hmm. And Dave, by the way, you're not going to hear his story. He will not give his story for movie or TV rights because he doesn't want to profit from tragedy, but he gave in grace his story.
Mm. So it's never been heard, and it's going to be on this coming Saturday and Sunday. Again, Saturday it will be on at 1:05, and Sunday in Orlando, 4:32, the same Saturday time in Ocala and Gainesville at 1:05, and then Sunday at 5:35. So in grace, don't miss it. We'll be back with my guest for one more segment coming up in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. Been having a great time today with my guest, Jim Scudder, Jr. He is the son of the founding pastor of a church in the Chicago area, Quinton Road, and it's Quinton Road Baptist Church for those that are familiar with this area. Jim has been the senior pastor himself for, what, about 2 years now, 3 years?
Yeah, so my dad fully retired almost 5 years ago. So we're celebrating our 50th anniversary of our church this year. And dad started our TV and radio ministry, and he was a pretty well-known national television preacher. He said it like it was. So he was very popular by some people. He also, kind of like Jesus, had some enemies out there too, because he said things that we needed to hear. You know, Americans need to hear things. So, but was loved, truly loved by not only our church, but by America.
Well, that's wonderful. And you've been leading this church now, I guess, for like 5 years. And, you know, it's, some people would say it's so difficult, even when it's your dad, but when there's such a substantial precedent set, a loved leader, it's not always easy for the person coming up behind, but it appears that God has graced you with real favor, and I'm grateful for what God is doing in your life, and kudos to the wonderful team that you have around you. I've been able to be a part of just conversations with one of your administrative assistants, and it's just clear that there's a fun atmosphere there in that church and with your ministry. You know, we were talking at the end, Jim, about this special that you're doing on the radio show this coming weekend. And I'd mentioned to you in the break that I wish more pastors, I love it when I find a pastor who is as involved in culture and in the addressing of what we really need to be, just like what you said your dad did. Sometimes pastors get in trouble if they address things that people need to hear, but that our people need to hear them, don't they?
You know, we do. We live in a country and a culture that, you know, you're not allowed to say certain things. But here's what I think that Christians need to do. We need to know what God has to say about the issues. And certainly he has spoken on moral issues. He has told us what marriage is. He created man and woman. He created marriage. He created life. Life is sacred from the womb to the tomb. And we need to stand up on these social issues, these moral issues, but we also need to do it in love and in kindness. So it's so easy to just get angry and you know, become belligerent, but that's not going to win anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We need to speak truth, and we need to do it in love. And our church has always been involved. We make sure people know what the candidates believe. So we invite the candidates to our church for the different, you know, state offices, local offices, and we tell people, you know, you better research what they believe and you know, vote for the person that most closely lines up with scripture. We have one of the most liberal mayors in the country. Now, I'm not in Chicago proper, but we're certainly influenced by Chicago. We're in the suburbs. But Lori Lightfoot and our governor Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker, Pritzker, when he was elected, he said, we're going to make Illinois the most liberal pro-abortion state in the country.
Mm.
And so my heart breaks, but we have some great people in Illinois. Our church is the Senate Republican minority leader. And he is a godly, born again believer, and he's leading in our state capital of Springfield. So be involved. Know what people stand for, and vote. You know, I did a whole show on voting as the election was coming up last summer. We interviewed Congress people. I interviewed anyone that was conservative, a rabbi. You know, why should we vote? And what are the issues that we should be thinking about as we vote? So I'm a pastor. I'm burdened for our country. I'm so sad about Afghanistan. I mean, I was crying when I saw what was happening. And our leadership is so weak right now and just seems to be so almost anti-God. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them that God would get a hold of them and give them the wisdom they need. But let's make sure the next election we are voting for righteousness.
You know, I think of the Bible verse that says the people, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But it's a sad thing when those that do what is vile to God, they strut about freely. And you know, that's
right.
That's what we're seeing happen. So many examples of that is that when people are leading and they don't know the Lord, they are not following. In fact, they're doing everything just like that governor that you just spoke about, making declarations that we want to be the most liberal, which is another way in this culture. It's another way of saying we're going to do everything we can do that's going to be opposite of what God told us to do. I mean, they may as well say it like that, because that's exactly what's happening. This is not the will of the Lord. It's not what we read about as what we should be doing, but it is what so many are doing to their shame.
Yes, and Mike, here's the bottom line. We should be involved politically, I believe 100%. If we're not, I think we're going to have to answer to the Lord for why we weren't. You know, we live in a country that we can pick our leaders. We need to obey our leaders unless it's sin. We need to support them and pray for them, but we get to pick our leaders. You know, how many countries don't get to do that? We get to do that. So we better be involved and maybe say there's no one good to vote for. Well, then run. You know, maybe God wants you to run for office, and God uses his people in every different position for his glory. But ultimately, Mike, it's not about politics and all of these things. What's going to change our world? What's going to change America? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And it always comes back to that. So that's my emphasis is, yeah, I want people to vote. I want to support good officials and pray for them. But ultimately, I need to give the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's of salvation, that we are sinners. All of us have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. And we all need salvation. Well, fortunately, the Creator came to die by the hands of the creature and was nailed to a cross. He made that wood. He made the iron that were going into his hands and feet. He made the people that were pounding these spikes into him. He could have called, as the song says, 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He was a willing sacrifice for our sins. He, the perfect innocent sacrifice, the only innocent man to ever live, died for my sins, your sins. And if you will, by faith, trust in him alone, you will be saved. That's the answer.
That is the answer.
America.
It's the answer for America, and even it's the answer for any individual who might be listening right now who would not know the Lord. What Jim has just given is the clear gospel. It's something we don't deserve, but one took our place and appeased the wrath that should have been upon you and me. It should have been up on me, but I get to taste the grace of God now. And as one pastor said one time, Jim, he said, you know, our life right here is as close as we are ever going to get to hell. Our life right here, that's an amazing truth when you think about it. We're not ever going to have to experience the flames of hell because of that grace of Jesus. And I love the name of your show, in grace. How great could that be to have a name that the very name of your ministry, of your radio ministry, is what we get to experience as a believer every day?
So every episode of our radio and TV program, In Grace, so we have a daily radio program that some stations air. We have a weekend show, which you guys are airing. And then we have a TV show that's on Trinity Broadcasting Network every Tuesday, TBN. And it's on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Roku channel. But every episode, TV, radio, streaming, podcast, whatever it is, we give the gospel. So I love that. That's how we can escape having to face the fires that were created for the devil and the demons. And God loves us, and he sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins. Can we even fathom what Jesus faced? Not just the physical torments, of course, of crucifixion. And I've been to Israel a number of times. I've talked to archaeologists of the horrors of Roman crucifixion. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was that he took upon himself sin, all sin. And he already paid for all sins. Now you say, how come everyone isn't just automatically saved? It's because God's not forcing himself on you. Love has to be a choice. It's volitional. So we have to accept his gift, but the price has already been paid. So if you'll receive that pardon, you are granted at that moment everlasting life. That's good news.
That's great news indeed. Oh, I pray that there are people right now who are grasping this and really praying the prayer to receive the Lord. And that is something that is so important. We're living in a time, Jim, I believe this with all my heart, people are going to be longing for the real truth. There's so much is that we hear, so much that is on the news. It is not true. What you're sharing, it is the truth. It is the greatest story that's ever been told, and we have an opportunity to tell it. Before we go today, I want to get all the details about this big program that's coming up again this coming weekend on your program, In Grace, on the Shepherd Radio Network, Saturdays at 1:05. And on Sunday, it will be replayed in Orlando at 4:32 in the afternoon in Ocala. And in Gainesville, it will be replayed at 5:35 in the afternoon. But tell us again, just give us a thumb sketch of these details one more time.
Okay, so the show is called A Heaven-Sent Rescue, the dramatic 9/11 story of Staff Sergeant Dave Carnes. And I think the part two that we're coming up this weekend is the best part, because it's the actual rescue. And you get to hear from Dave's heart, you know, a man that was down in the flames. I mean, the fire was encroaching on these police officers. And Dave made the decision, we're not leaving. If they die, we die. But then he would pray these prayers, Lord, I need a fire extinguisher right now. And then all of a sudden, a guy drops in the hole with a fire extinguisher. It's an incredible story. I hope all of you listen to it here on The Shepherd and pray for In Grace as we try to reach the world. You might also want to see this episode. So it's a television show as well. So it's on YouTube, Roku, and on TBN.
Wow. You know, that's great. I wasn't even aware of that one myself. And your website is ingraceradio.com. Ingraceradio.com. That's I-N-G-R-A-C-E radio.com. And they can go there, get all the information, not only on this special, but also about your ministry and your ongoing radio programs that are really going out. You're on 600 plus stations. That's amazing.
Yeah, we thank God that he is allowing us to serve him in this way. I love all of you in Florida. I'm one of you. I'm a Miami born boy. And so I love your sunshine. I love your state. So God bless all of you. I have my dad's buried right there near Webster. So just west of the villages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my heart is there in Florida.
Well, when you come back, and we hope you do, we'll have to have you up at the studios in Orlando for the Shepherd Network. And we'd love to do this again with you, Jim.
Awesome, Mike. Hey, listen, keep up the good work, and God bless you. Great to talk with you today.
God bless you, and thank you, friends, for being with us here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time on The Shepherd.